the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Giant, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
So
More singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
And God said,
"Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind."
And it was so.
Ah, children, what a tremendous thing God accomplished that day. They tell us that there have existed and now exist some 2 million different kinds of animals.
I wonder if anyone can name all the different kinds.
No, but we can tell a number of things that might help understand the important place animals occupy in the scheme of creation. Listen.
Animals range in size from the microscopic, single-celled protozoa to large creatures such as the giraffe and elephant. All land animals are dependent, directly or indirectly, on plants. Some animals are called herbivorous because they feed only on plants. And although it was not in God's original plan, there are now animals who are carnivorous, preying on other animals for their food.
Cows are a good example of herbivorous animals. The strongest animal, the elephant, is herbivorous.
Lions are a good example of the carnivorous kind.
A third type lives on both plants and meat. These are called omnivorous.
Bears are a good example of this type.
It's easy to see how closely animals depend on plants and each other for survival.
This interdependence is called the balance of nature, and it's a mighty and marvelous complex system.
Since creation, hasn't a gradual change taken place in man and beast?
Yes. Listen to this.
Since man was driven from the Garden of Eden because of sin, man and the animals have developed an even closer interdependence. After the flood, man became a hunter. Man became a shepherd.
Man domesticated the sheep and made friends with dogs to help him manage his flocks of sheep.
This is the sound of another animal that man has tamed.
The cow became a very useful animal. From cattle, we get beef, milk for our children, butter and cheese, to say nothing of tallow for candles, and hides for leather shoes, belts, straps, and harnesses.
Another animal was tamed that has proved very useful in the history of mankind.
The first sound was galloping horses, but the last sound, what was that?
Well, many people will not recognize the sound of wagons. You hardly hear it in America anymore. But in other parts of the world, horses still help farmers plow their fields and pull their carts and wagons.
Until the invention of the steam and gasoline engines and the electric motor, man's well-being depended to a very large extent on animal power. We still use the term horsepower. Horses, camels, llamas, elephants, yaks, reindeer, water buffalo, oxen, donkeys. What could man, with his limited strength, do without them?
And God said,
let the earth bring forth creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind.
And it was so.
A more fascinating and diversified part of creation would be hard to imagine. Entomologists estimate that there are over 1 million different kinds of insects. 1 million. Think of it.
And insects are both useful and harmful to man. Who hasn't suffered from flies and mosquitoes? And what gardener hasn't seen his fruit trees or rose bushes ruined by some insect pest? Also, many dangerous diseases are spread by insects.
Yet insects perform a number of very beneficial functions. Many act as nature scavengers, consuming parts of dead animals and refuse. Others, by burrowing underground, help to make the soil more fertile. Some insects kill weeds. Then there's the bee. He provides us with honey. The silkworm spins the thread from which silk is made.
But the most important role of all that the insect plays is in pollinating the plants. Everyone has seen insects in search of nectar, entering the inner parts of flowers and blossoms. As insects feed, pollen from the flower's stamens dust off onto their legs. And when the insect enters another flower, the pollen is transferred into the stigma, thus making the plant fruitful.
The life cycle of many insects is very complicated and interesting.
Tell us about it.
Well, beginning with an egg, laid in some suitable host, usually a plant or the soil, the insect develops into a worm or caterpillar. This, after a time, forms into a pupa or cocoon in which the growing creature remains until it is ready to break the hull and emerge as a full-fledged insect.
And God caused all these things to come into existence on that sixth day.
Yes, and more too, much more. But before we get into that second part of the sixth day of creation, I think it would be well to stop for a moment and think. Really think about the vast extent of God's creation. Look at the stars, our nearest neighbors in the universe. Consider the sun, the giver of light. Take heed of the golden wheat growing in the fields. Watch the cattle grazing in the valley. Hear the song of the birds and the chirping of insects. Gaze out over the sea, so full of living creatures. Swim in the blue waters of a lake or lazily flowing stream, bringing exuberant recreation. Climb to the top of yonder mountain. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Be thankful. Never cease to wonder. Always praise God for the wonderful world he created for our benefit in the beginning.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
¶¶ have you ever seen so many cereal boxes before?
There are a bunch of them. Some with pictures of animals, some with bowls of fruit and milk, and some with cartoon characters. How are we supposed to pick one for our camping trip?
Is there one with a picture of a tent on it?
Let's see. What did the nurse tell us last week in school?
She said if a snake bites you, don't suck out the poison?
No, before that.
She said that we should only buy food that has a very short list of ingredients on the package. And she said don't buy cereal that's loaded with sugar.
Okay, we know that ingredients are listed in order. The first item that's in here is the most. So here's a cool box. Let's see. First item, sugar.
This one, too. Sugar right at the top.
And this one. And this one. She said watch out for words like evaporated cane juice or corn syrup or even natural sweetener. They're just different words for sugar.
Hey, this one says that sugar is number 3.
Nope.
Why?
Read what comes next.
There are a bunch of words I can't pronounce.
The nurse said that if we can't pronounce it, our stomachs probably can't digest it. Try again.
Okay, here's a cereal that has just one thing in the ingredients list. 100% whole wheat.
That's all?
That's all.
Then that's it. Dump a little honey, fresh fruit, and soy milk on there, and we're eating healthy.
You sound like a commercial.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Some things grow big and round, like pumpkins, and even the funny fat cat. But other things grow up and up, tall, 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 like trees. Stretching high, stretching high, stretching way up to the sky.
In heaven, poor widow will get her reward. in the Lord. Our friend the poor widow will get her reward. Our friend the poor widow is rich in the Lord.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 3, The Disappearing Dog. Zack couldn't have just vanished, Dee Dee said, about to cry. She tried to act brave. Jenny knew how she felt because her cat had disappeared once, too. Jenny came over and put her arm around Dee Dee. Don't worry, Dee Dee. Zack will be all right. We'll find him. I know we'll find him, Chris said. Let's ask Jesus to help keep Zack safe and help us find him again. All the Shoebox kids agreed, and they knelt down right there on the trail to pray. After they had finished praying, Dee Dee asked, "Do you think someone kidnapped Zack?" "I don't see any other tracks," Sammy said. "If someone had kidnapped him, I think there would be some tracks or something." "Sammy's right," Willie agreed as he held Coco tightly. Dee Dee wasn't about to give up. She also wasn't sure if she believed no one had kidnapped Zack like Willie and Sammy said. She knew they were just trying to make her feel better, but knowing Zack might have been kidnapped didn't make her feel better at all. She studied Zack's tracks again up to where they vanished. If Zack had gotten off the trail, he would have left tracks pointing in the direction he went. But the way Zack's tracks looked, it was as if he was running up the trail barking, and then he just disappeared. How could he have just disappeared? Dee Dee wondered out loud. "Let's go back to the cabins," Chris suggested. "Our parents are probably starting to worry. Plus, we better tell them what happened to Zack." Willie turned his wheelchair around. Maria glanced around one more time before she started back. Sammy stood up and followed Jenny, and Chris and Dee Dee brought up the rear. But before leaving, Dee Dee knelt down and studied the trail again where Zack's tracks had disappeared. It was then that she noticed something very peculiar. Beside Zack's footprints was a small, smooth dent in the ground in the general shape of an hourglass, only it was bigger on one end than on the other. "That's odd," Dee Dee said out loud, but no one was around to hear her. Dee Dee slowly stood up, then she ran after her friends to catch up. What was the odd-looking mark on the ground, she wondered. By the time the Shoebox kids got back to the cabins, it was so dark all they could see among the trees were dark shadows. Willie let Coco jump to the ground, and Coco ran circles around his wheelchair. "I don't like the woods at night very much," Chris muttered, looking around him as he slowed down to a trot. "Neither do I," Jenny agreed. When the Shoebox kids rounded the corner of the first cabin, they almost scared their parents to death. "Where have you been?" Mrs. Adams asked worriedly. "We were ready to go search for all of you." "Mom, Zack is lost," Dee Dee wailed. "He just disappeared." Mr. and Mrs. Adams stared at each other for a second. They looked confused. Mr. Adams narrowed his eyebrows as he looked at Dee Dee. "What do you mean, Zack is lost?" "We were hiking up the trail when Zack jerked his leash out of my hand and ran away. We could hear him barking as he ran up the trail. Then he suddenly stopped barking. When we went to look for him, we couldn't find him anywhere." "We think he saw something in the forest, and that's why he took off barking," Willie added. Dee Dee nodded, but when we looked for Zack, Sammy found where his footprints just disappeared. Zack wasn't anywhere around, and we couldn't tell which way he went. Mr. Adams came up and put his arm around Dee Dee. "It's all right, Dee Dee. You don't have to worry about Zack because he is right here. That's one reason we were so worried about you. When Zack showed up all alone, we thought something had happened to all of you. We were getting ready to launch a search party, and your mother wanted to call the police." As if to prove he was all right, Zack ran over and tried to jump into Dee Dee's arms. "Oh, Zack," Dee Dee exclaimed, "you're all right. I thought you were kidnapped." "Kidnapped?" Mrs. Adams asked. "Where did you get the idea Zack had been kidnapped?" "Well, we thought since Zack suddenly disappeared, someone might have kidnapped him," Dee Dee tried to explain. Mr. Adams frowned. "Are you sure you aren't all letting your imaginations run away with you? Zack came to our door a few minutes ago. He probably just chased a squirrel or some other small animal and lost you kids, so he came back here." Dee Dee knelt down and gave Zack a big hug. "I wonder," she whispered so only Zack could hear, "just what did happen to you?"
story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.